I was so lame, it was pitiful, because I was going here and there, and I want nothing, anything at all that was due unto the Lord. It wasn't me going out and doing the Lord's work. It was everything that that would possibly go wrong. It went wrong. But I thank the Lord that then one day saved my soul. And he wrote my name down there in the Lamb's Book of Life. That one book that one day is going to be open. Then there's going to be many books also open. But until that time comes, we got a job to do. We got to be about the Father's business and doing it. But I want to try to bring you a message today on the kind of church that I believe the Lord wants us to have here. And I know that we have that kind of church. I believe it with all my heart and all my soul. If I didn't, I don't think we'd be here. I don't think the doors would continue to be open. But it's only by the grace of God and the love of the people. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says this: "Ye also, a lively stone, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." You know, acceptable by Jesus Christ. I believe that this is me speaking. I'm not speaking for you. But I believe this, that when it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices, that right there, them two words right there, is a whole lot there. Because we do have some spiritual sacrifices that we can sacrifice. We can sacrifice our time. Why? Because we're saved by the grace of God. And not only that is it acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I believe that this church right here, God has accepted its people. God has accepted this church to continue on, go forward. The reason I say that, and please don't misunderstand me right here, but I believe that is because it doesn't make no difference how many you have here. I believe if it won't be four or five here, or maybe two or three here, the reason I believe that the Lord has already accepted this church is because we stand on the Word of God. Because there are not many churches anymore that will stand on the Word of God. They will stand on anything else that there is but the Word of God. Because they know themselves today that if they get up there and if they preach what thus says the Word, then they know within their own heart and soul that they'll have to step down
from the pulpit.
Because they can't preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God is the book. This whole book in Him. They're going to preach. This book right here, if you preach it, you're going to preach on your pet sin. You're going to preach on this, and you're going to preach on that. You're going to preach on what is good for today and what's bad for today. But in thinking about the church, the reason I say God has accepted this church is because the people in here that is the church is a praying church. I believe in each and every one of you pray. You pray for someone else, or you pray for your own family or something. You don't mind going into the Lord and asking the Lord to bless you and to bless the people that you come in contact with. We must realize also as we pray for individuals, as we pray for sinners, the ones that's lost, it's nothing. The only thing that we can do is just go and invite them to church and live the life before them, because it's nothing that we can do to change their heart. The only one that can change an individual's heart is the Holy Spirit. And it's through the conviction of the Holy Ghost that will bring all men and all sinners unto Him. But I'm just so thankful that we have a church that is a willing participant in a praying church. And I do thank you for the confidence that you have put in me. But don't put no confidence in me. But you have. But don't put it in me. You put your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He will never let you down. He will never falter on you. But if you put all your confidence in me, I'm going to let you down. I'm not going to do it intentionally. I'm going to do it out of ignorance. But you must realize He is the one that we have to put our confidence in through prayer. And that's the only way we can talk to Him is through prayer. I can't go and talk to the Father if I'm speaking to you. Oh yes, He hears what we're saying. But we have to get along with God. It says, hallowed be His name. It means that we must get by ourselves where no one else is around, where nothing else can distract us from talking to the Father. Now anytime that I'm at home and it looks like, I don't know why, and I hope and pray it don't happen to y'all when y'all do, but when I get by myself in my study, and I got my door shut, and when I get to praying, that's when the phone is going to ring. That's when the phone is going to ring. And that's when somebody's going to come. Well, somebody, they need to talk to you. They don't need to talk to me no more than what I need to talk to the Lord. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you. But I need that time by myself each and every day with the Lord. I've told my wife and I've told my daughter both. I says, If you come into my room, if you don't see me either reading or on the computer, then I must be praying. But if I'm praying, do not say a word. Because I don't need to be distracted. But we are distracted today. See, the devil knows exactly what his job is. And he does his job in an excellent way. He's on a job every day. You'll never find the devil doing something else that he ain't supposed to be doing. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to discourage the Christians. He knows that he cannot get a hold to our soul. But he knows that he can discourage us. How can he discourage us? Through our mind. He will discourage us to the point to where the people that we've been contacted, the people that we have talked to, invite them to church. That's the reason, you know, some people say, well, why ain't you discouraged? Now, you ain't got but a handful of people down there. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'd rather have a handful of people that love the Lord and is faithful than have the church completely packed out and have people in there grumbling about this and I'm grumbling about that. We don't need to grumble. The Lord, I mean, we need to leave that up to the devil because the devil's going to always grumble. But not only that, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ and the God in heaven has accepted us is because we are a giving church. We're a giving church. We support missionaries. And the Lord, me and Brother Bill were just talking about this past week. How the Lord has really blessed us. No more people than what we got. We haven't had to call anybody and tell anybody that we're going to be a couple weeks late on making the payment. Are we gonna be a couple, 2 or 3 weeks and getting the money together to where we can support our missionaries? No, we hadn't dropped one missionary, and the only reason he was dropped, the only reason the church dropped that missionary was because he did not believe that this right here was the inerrant word of God. He says, if you'd rather for me to come to your church, and if you'd rather for me to preach from a King James, I will come and preach. I said, now wait a minute. I want to ask you something. I said, you asking me if I would rather. And then I come back to him. I says, what would you rather do? You know the answer he gave me? He said, well, it depends on what the people in the church has been used to. He says, when I go into the church, I look at the church
And a majority of the churches I go into, they'll have a hardback Bible. And some of them are King James. Some of them are NIV. Some of them are the Living Translation. Some of them are this, or some of them are that. I said, you just clarified exactly what I wanted to know. You're not a King James only preacher, are you? Or missionary? No, sir, I'm not. It says the King James is like the rest of them. It's written by man, and it's got a whole lot of non-truth in it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he says, some of them ain't true. I said, man, I said, I would not say that. If I even halfway thought it, I would not come out and say it. That's the only reason we dropped it. That is the reason. And as far as I'm concerned, if anybody asks me about him, and they bring his name up to me, and ask me, do I support him? I don't know. So we dropped him. I know his daddy. I've heard his daddy preach before. His daddy, I believe, stood on the Word of God. But this was his son. We preach about giving. What do we preach about giving? Give of ourselves, our time. Yes, we don't have, and it's not all about the monetary goods. It's not all about the money. It's about what we can sacrifice, what we can give to God. See, God knows all each and every one of our needs. Your need may be greater than my need. And then my need may be maybe a little greater than some of y'all's needs. We don't know, but the Lord knows it all. The Lord is not going to condemn us because we don't have it to give. But the Lord will bless in a faithfulness to Him in being here in the house of God. He will bless you beyond your every mean. There was a long time right after I first got saved. Now here it was now, 30 years of my life. I was 30 years old when I got saved. Until that time come, I was going ahead and I was doing the things of the world. I was doing what the devil wanted me to do. And after I got saved, I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't understand. I didn't know what this meant, what that meant, and everything. So it took me a long time to get to the point that, yes, I've just got to trust you, God. I'd already trusted Him with my soul. He'd already saved me. He'd already written my name down there in heaven with His Son's blood. It took me a long time to get to the point that I just need to give it to God. Give everything over to God. That means give him a tithe, give him an automobile, give him a family, give him a house, give him what I got. It took me a long time to get to that point, but when I did, I don't need it no more. I don't need it. I don't need that home right there where I'm staying at. The Lord's, he's provided it for me. I'm driving right now we've got an automobile at the shop now. 1999, got 140,000 miles on it. Driving one out there, it's a 2002, it's got almost 120, 130,000, something like that. But I believe as long as it's being used for the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So we must use what we have. We must do what we can do in giving. Giving of our time. Giving of our prayer life. Did you realize if you spend 20 minutes a day in prayer, each and every day during a week, how much time is that? That is 140, right at about 168 minutes a week. Just think about that now. We don't have about 168 hours in a week. If we can give God 20 minutes a day, or 25, or maybe 30 minutes a day of prayer to God, that is the same thing as coming up here putting $100. If you went out here and made $1,000 this week, that 10% and what you've done in prayer time, you give back to God, talking to Him. The same amounts is the same thing as that individual come up and give $100. We are the ones that have always put the monetary good behind it. We've always put the sum of money behind it. But it's not that. It's to the farmer out here that raises the garden and everything out here. If he goes out here and if he goes out and plows up with potatoes and he gets 100 bushels of potatoes, how many bushels are you supposed to give away? 10, but look, you got to go beyond that though. Even with the 10 bushels. See, that was God's. See, before God is going to bless you, you got to give before the sacrifice. Who will that sacrifice be? Well, if I got 100 bushels, if I give away 10 bushels, means I got 90 bushels left. Then if I go out here and I say I'm going to give some more of that away, I'm going to give a 10% of that away. Then if I go and the next thing you know, you'll be at the point of just giving. And then you get to the point and say, well, I ain't got but a bushel left myself. But before we take that bushel and go in and clean the potatoes, slice them up and fry them, or bake them or whatever, we need to take and count them potatoes out. Get some of them out. We'll end up and won't have that many potatoes for ourselves. Why? God says give. And when God says give, and if we'll give, God comes back and he says, I'll give it back to you fourfold. The next year I'll go ahead and I'll raise the same amount. I'll have the same many rows of potatoes that I planted last year. The same many plants as I tell. But because of last year. Four folds. Man, I got more potatoes that is going to come up than I would ever expect. But we just have to trust God. A giving church. Or you giving people. You're giving, giving people in your prayer time. In your giving. In your time. A church that God accepts and that will, God will bless is a church that is a soul winning church. That is a church going out here inviting people to the house of the Lord. Inviting people to come to church. The church Jesus built is a soul winning church. A church where people don't get saved. Isn't a church that Jesus built. If we just come and open the door, and if we don't never expect anyone to come in there, come into this church, and then walk down the aisle at invitation time, or whenever the Holy Spirit convicts them of it, and they come down and get saved. If we don't want that, then Jesus did not build it. We can pray, we can give, we can do anything. But Jesus did not build it. When we come to church, we must expect something else that's going to happen. The characteristic of a church that God accepts. What's the first characteristic of the church? The first one is love. Love who? Your neighbor. We already love God. But God wants his church. God wants each one of us to love the people outside of these doors. Because see, they're hurting. They need support. They don't need just the support from the government. And when his government can provide for them, medically speaking and all of that. But the church, they need the church's support also in their prayer life. We need to pray for them. We need to ask God, you don't have to bless me today. Lord, you don't bless me enough. But would you go and bless his family? This family right here is having it tough. I don't know what all they're going through. I just can see it within their face, an expression. Lord, go bless them. The way they can receive the same kind of joy that I'm receiving. You know how God blesses me? I'm going to tell you. How God blesses me is seeing where God is blessing you. That's when God really blesses me. It's when I know that God is blessing the people. I don't need nothing else. I don't need nothing. He didn't give me everything I ever needed. He gave me a roof over my head. He's put shoes on my feet. He's put clothes on my back. And he's given me a family that loves me. What else is it to ask for? What else is it? If he's done all of that for me, how much more could he do for me? Bless you. See where you're happy. See where the people that maybe that I may invite to church may say, I believe he is sincere. I'm going to go listen to him preach. Then when they come to church, we should not be on the back about joining the church or anything. We should just say thank you. Thank you for your presence. Give them a good, friendly handshake. And they'll appreciate that. We don't know, because we don't know what people go through today. We don't know. We have no idea. I don't have any idea what you may be going through today or this week. I don't know what you're going to face next week. But I know one that does. God the Father. He's obedient. He's obedient to what His Word has said, and He had promised it. And these preachers, and I'm going to say these preachers, I'm going to say Baptist preachers. And the reason I'm going to say that way, I'm going to say, because I is a Baptist preacher by choice. I'm a Baptist. But these preachers that can get up here and say, well, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that a loving God that sent His Son to Calvary and died, and He hung upon a cross, and then He was put into a tomb where it wasn't His, it was borrowed. And they say He came and He rose again on the third day. How can He be a God of destruction? How can He be a God that will send anyone to hell? God does not send no one to hell. It's the individual's choice. God's give us all a choice. And it's a two-way street. Heaven or hell. It's not a three-way street like the Catholics talk about. Heaven, and then it's purgatory, and then it's hell. Well, basically what they say is calling hell purgatory. But it's not true. Nowhere in the Word of God you'll find it. Purgatory. Nowhere. But do you honestly think that God's going to go back on His Word? To satisfy a preacher? To satisfy him for what he's up there preaching? Right here. In chapter 3, 1 Timothy. What this is speaking about right here, the qualifications. What does the word qualification mean? It means that if you're qualified to do something, if you're able to do it in the right way, or if you happen to do it, are you going to hinder it? Or are you going to help it? The qualifications of an elder and a deacon is what the chapter 3 in 1 Timothy. It says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now the word desire comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, where he's put the desire on your heart to do his work. To do his work. And it says in verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless. What does that mean, blameless? He's not guilty of anything. He's innocent of everything. He's not guilty. Why? Jesus Christ went to Calvary, shed his blood, and died for him that he could be pardoned. And we're all pardoned today. A bishop then must be blameless. Then what does it say? They say, oh, a bishop then must be blameless. Then a man of wife, of a wife. No. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given in hospitality, apt to teach. No, it says a bishop then must be blameless. And it speaks about the husband of one wife, a husband. It doesn't say anything at all about bigamy, that you could have more than one living wife. It doesn't say anything about that. Now, if you get back in the Old Testament, they may look at it like, and they would probably have it written as, they're talking about the husband of one wife. They would speak about the husband of concubines. Because they had more than one wife back then. But see, they wasn't called to preach. Same way as a deacon.
And even such the more thy wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithfulness in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling thy children and thy own house well. It doesn't say anything about that the deacon needs to be an individual and where the husband of one wife, but yet he is the ruler. He is the head of the church. He is the one that comes in and makes sure it goes everything all right. Make sure the preacher gets up here and preaches. Make sure he gets up here and preaches good sound doctrine. He's not supposed to be the ruler. He's supposed to keep his own family. That's who he's over, his own family. I'm just the under shepherd here. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the great shepherd. He's the one that speaks to me about doing this and that. But I'm so thankful that I can come up and I can go to the leaders within the church, and Brother Bill is one of the leaders that I can go to, and I depend on, and I can go to him and ask him about this and that. And what can you think this may can help? We need to come together and see what can edify the church, that can help the church. And not only that, please don't get me wrong with this. But we are here as one body. We are, how many? 10 people, 10, 11 people here? But we come together as one. As one body. And as we come in one body, we must pray as a one body. To where the church is at. To what the church, what God wants the church to be. Not what I want the church to be. Not what you want the church to be. But what God wants the church to be. And who God wants here. Not who I want here. Not who you want. But who God wants here. Obedient church, and I already brought up the missionary church, the giving church. And I thank the Lord, I really do, with all my heart, that I'm a part of a New Testament church. What are you saying, preacher? I thought you, didn't you say you preached the whole book? Well, you got the Old Testament, and then you got the New Testament. Yeah? A New Testament church is a church where they support missionaries. Where they just don't. It's just me and my foe. And no more. Because you know, overseas, the individuals that we support, with what we do support them with, what little that we do give them, we get to heaven. When we get to heaven,
They're going to come over to one of you, maybe, or me, or somebody else. You know, I heard there was a church in Ringgold, Virginia. Faith Baptist Church. Didn't have much to give us, but just faithfully giving. Says you are the reason that I'm here. You're the reason that I trust the Lord. You are part of the reason that we're all here. We're reaping today and what they're sowing over there. I believe it with all my heart. That's the reason the church doors are open. If you ever wanted the church doors to close, then what to do? What you should have done is got rid of all the missionaries. And then you'd have said, well, did I have the money to support the missionaries? I want this month. We're going to have enough money to pay the light bill. Well, you know, where they at? They usually here, but they're not here. And then they call me, they're not sick. I don't think, because they usually call me if they're sick. Could I tell you some of the places that the missionaries go to and some of the testimonies that I've heard from the missionaries that's come here? I mean, that one, I can't think of his name right now, but he says that when he goes and takes a shower, they don't have no hot water. What he has to do before he even turns the water on to get even a warm shower, he has to take the wire that it has the electricity running through and fasten it up out to the shower head where it's metal. So he can get in there and get a shower. Now that's dangerous. That's dangerous. But see, he trusted God. See, they go through stuff over there. We can give up a whole lot. We can give up a whole lot. And we, as individuals, we waste more at one meal. I'm not talking about the three meals we're having a day. One meal a day than what some of them over have for a month. But they just as happy as they can be. Why? Some things they ain't had before. God has been too good to us. God has been too good to me. He really has. Brother Bales, you come. Everyone stand, eyes closed, head bowed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being here this morning with us. Father, we just pray, Lord Jesus, we could continue to be that church that you have built, Father. That we can be the obedient one in thy service today. Father, now, Lord, as the invitation is given, Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody that's in the congregation this morning, Father, that would love to come to an old-fashioned altar
And Father, just pray for the family, pray for the loved ones, or pray for the friends that may not be in church. Oh Lord Jesus, we pray for them. And Father, we just want to thank you in what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.